You are listening to an RPA production, where people gather. Ladies and gentlemen, Real Paranormal Activity is proud to present The Sandman Lullaby with your host, Patrick Sean Jones.
Came to earth one night from the realm of mist and dew. One dream was old, old days, and one was dreams of new. One was a dream of shady lane that led to prickled pond, where the willows and rush bowed themselves to the brown hills beyond. And the people that peopled the old-time dream were pleasant, fair to see, and the dreamer, he walked with them again, as often of old walked he. Oh, cold was the wind in the shady lane that tangled his curly hair. Oh, sweet was the music the ribbon made to the springtime everywhere. Was it the dew the dream had brought from yonder midnight sky? Or was it the tears from the dear dead years that laid in the dreamer's eye? The other dream ran fast and free as the moon benaught shed her golden grace and smiley face in the little trembled bed. For this was a dream of times to come, of glory's noon of day, of summer that followed the careless spring when the child is done with play. And this was a dream of the busy world where the various deeds are done, of battles fought and causes of right, and the victories nobly won. It breathed no breath of the dear old home and the quiet joys of youth. It gave no glimpse of good old friends or the time of faith or truth. But this was a dream of youthful hopes, and fast and free it ran. And it told of little sleepy child, of a boy that became a man. There was a dream that came one night to the earth from yonder sky. These were dreams of two dreamers dreamed, a little boy and I. And in our hearts my boy and I were glad that it was so. He loved to dream of days to come, and I of long ago. So from our dreams my boy and I unwillingly woke, but neither of his precious dream until the other spoke. Yet of the love we bore those dreams gave each his temper sign, for there was triumph in his eyes, and there were tears in mine.
Sandman Lullaby here on RPA. Yeah, that's the Real Paranormal Activity Network. I'd like to thank each and every one of you out there in the lands of dreams, of the paranormal, of anything that goes bump in the night. I'd like to thank you for clicking that little button and checking and seeing what's going on in the realm of dreams here on the Real Paranormal Activity Network. And I got a guest for you. I got a guest. All away across the pond. That's what actually, I think they actually call it. I don't know. This is how I say it because, you know, I'm American. And this is a man, a myth, a legend. This is Mr. Dave Cook. He is a parapsychologist. He is a radio host that he does a show over there in the UK. And I am lucky enough to basically grab him from a night's sleep because I know it's morning time over there right now, I believe. I don't think the sun's even come up yet.
It's
5 a.m. So, I dragged him all the way just to sit here and talk about, you know, to just kind of pull his ear a little bit. Dave, give us a background upon yourself a little bit for the listeners that might not actually heard any of your interviews before or might not know who you are.
Well, I'm lucky enough. I say I'm lucky enough as it goes to have the gift since I was 6 years old. I told my mum that she wasn't my first mum, but I still loved her. Sadly, my mum has since passed away from December last year, and neither my mum nor myself could remember the name that I told her. As I was growing up, I kept hearing things and seeing things, and thankfully it's through the teaching of my parents, because my dad has the gift as well, that I've managed to grow, and now I do my own radio show. I do my own investigations with my own team, which is the Essex Ghost Investigations, and I've been able to help so many people now with the gift, and I class it as a gift. It does have its bad sides, I must admit. I've had a few bad experiences, but in general, thank you to my parents for teaching me how to use this gift to actually help people.
So how was it when you were a child with this gift?
Well, I didn't think of it as any different. I just thought of it as normal. I thought everyone could do it. And it wasn't until I sort of got into, I sort of say my teens, that I realised that not everyone could do it.
To see things? To feel things?
I see things. I hear things. I've been told things I shouldn't know, and it, like I say, to me, it is a blessing. Yes, like I say, I've had some bad experiences, but it is a blessing, because when you see the faces on the people that you help, it's just so rewarding. It's the best feeling in the world.
When you go into places, when you do your investigations, do you actually see full figures, or do you actually see, like, will-o'-wisps or anything like that?
It's a mixture of both, really.
Right.
I've been to places where I've seen full-bodied apparitions appear in front of me, but I've also been to other places where all I can see is, like, a white glow or a shadow figure. So it's mixed from place to place.
Have they ever tried to come into your dreams by any chance?
It just so happens I have actually asked a few questions before I've fallen asleep.
Right.
And some of the answers have actually come through my dreams.
For example, give me some examples.
There was one time, because I was feeling really down, and this was more through sort of my meditation stages, and I said to myself, I've got two ways of handling this. I can either try one way, the meditation side, or I can try tablets from a doctor. And I thought, I don't want to go down the tablet route, because I've seen what it can do to people.
Right.
And I do believe I was in that REM sort of state at the time this happened. So I was sort of between the full sleep, but also just going off to sleep stage. And I had a Native American Indian stand by the side of my bed. He had a clay pot in his right hand.
Right.
A feather in his left hand, which I believe was an eagle feather. This, I don't know what this pot was, but it was smouldering. There was something in it that was smouldering. And he's just waving it over my body, as if to sort of cleanse me of negative energy. It was an amazing experience.
Did you happen to pick up a smell while you were doing this?
No. No, I couldn't smell nothing. All I saw was the smoke.
Right.
And just seemed lean over and just... It was basically covering my body with the smoke.
And how old were you when this happened?
It was quite recently, as it goes. It was only about a couple of years ago.
Oh, really?
The feeling afterwards... I don't know. It did actually feel like a weight had been lifted.
So it felt like a protection was given upon you?
It felt like all the negativity that I was feeling at that time.
Right.
Just went. And I woke up the next day, I felt so refreshed. And it was like, right, new start.
Where do you think, where do you think dreams actually come from?
I think they actually come from our subconscious and our previous memories. We've all lived before.
Right.
We've all had past lives. And some of our dreams can actually come from sort of like repressed memories.
Do you learn anything certain in your dreams? Does it teach you any lessons that you are looking for sometimes?
I know a few times I've had quite a few visitations. And they've given me advice that I've needed at that time to get through certain things. For example, I've been looking to try and get out of my job because it's a good paying job, but it's not me. And I've been there too long now and I need to get out. Well, it's through my dreams, spirits actually showed me a way out. And I'm now working on that project to get it into reality.
Can I ask what project that might be?
I'm keeping it under wraps at the moment.
No, that's cool.
Mainly because I know all the people I know in the paranormal, they are fantastic people, I must admit. But I know there's ones out there that if they hear about this, they're going to take advantage. They're going to turn it into something complete opposite to what I want it to be.
You want to keep it pure?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, I want to make sure this will be done for the right reasons. And I know there's people out there that will do it for the wrong reasons.
The ratio between good dreams and bad dreams, what do you think you have more of? Do you have more positive dreams? Do you have more negative dreams?
I've got to honestly say, I believe I have more positive dreams.
Okay. Can you give me some examples of your positive ones?
Oh, what was it?
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
I think it was because I had one recently and I'm trying to remember it now because it was a really good dream. I think I was out somewhere and I was having a really good time. There was great people around me and I was with a really beautiful woman and everything just seemed to fall into place. It was like one of them dreams that when you get out of, you try so hard to get back into, but for some reason you can't, and it's so frustrating afterwards.
Do you have any of them that are repetitive like that?
I used to have one when I was a kid. And it seemed like every time I stayed somewhere new, it was like I was waking up and I was in a completely different place. I used to wake up, I used to be in my school, then I'd go back to sleep, wake up again, I'd be in a park somewhere on a bench, and then I'd go to sleep, wake up again, and I'd be back in my bed again. So it's like I was traveling to these different places every time I woke up.
Well, that kind of leads into astral projection. Have you ever practiced astral projection?
Well, I've often wondered if out-of-body experiences and dreams could be linked. Because when you think about it, when we dream, it is said that we leave our body.
Right.
So I'm wondering if they're linked somehow.
Have you ever had paralysis?
No. No, I've got to admit, I've never had sleep paralysis. Yeah. I know a few people that have.
Yeah, that's...
I interviewed someone on my show about it, and yeah. I know how scary it is.
Yeah, it's a real scary thing what I hear about it. I'm very blessed I don't have that, so I'm knocking on wood right now. So I don't have that. How about prophetic dreams? How are you able to control some of your dreams?
I manage to control all my dreams.
Oh, do you? How do you practice that?
I honestly don't know. I honestly do not know. But I know I can sort of put the dream in the direction I want it to go, rather than let it take me somewhere. And I know at that time that I am dreaming as well. I know it's just a dream.
Now, I know you've investigated many places over there in the UK. Now, I'm not sure if I actually explained it the way I wanted to explain it, but have you ever experienced a haunting coming back to you in your dreams with some of your investigations? Like the word that Aaron usually talks about, that I've heard him talk about, that he warned me about this a long time ago. He talked about attachments.
I've not had any dreams during the night with any of them, I must admit. I've been lucky that way.
Okay, you said during the night, but what about during the day? Have you had, like, daydreams?
Yeah, during the day, I have had spirits come to me and show me what actually happened. A prime example is a place I'm going to on December the 1st, Fallon's House Museum. There's a spirit boy there by the name of Charles, who got accused of pushing his sister down some stairs and killing her. Well, I didn't believe this. And a couple of days later, Charles came to see me during the day and actually showed me what actually happened. That he was trying to save her and he didn't kill her. And when I went back to Fallon's house the second time, I asked this of Charles, if he was telling me the truth, and the answer was yes. So I've had quite a few spirit visits during the day, but they know of a night time. That's my time for resting, and they know not to bother me.
Okay, here's a simple question I want to ask. If you can go in any place, any time of existence inside your dreams, where would you like to go?
Oh.
And why?
That's a good one.
And why? Thank you.
There's so many places I'd like to go. I mean, I'd like to go back to sort of ancient Egyptian times.
Why is that?
Find out about the pyramids. Why they are there. Is it just a tomb? Is it more than a tomb? Are they like aerials? Receptors? But then at the same time, I'd also like to go back to ancient Greece and speak to people like Aristotle and things like that and find out where they got their information from. Because he was so advanced for his time and he's still advanced now. It's like, well, where did that come from? For you to think of things that you have.
Well, they try to say that what the pyramids is like 10,000 years old, which I know is like a crock. What would you actually think how old actually the pyramids are?
I think they date way, way back more than sort of 10,000 years ago. Because when you think about it, it's not just the pyramids of Egypt. There's pyramids all over the world.
Right.
They've been in existence before the ones in Egypt. And so, I would say more like 40, 50,000 years ago rather than 10.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. My interpretation when I'm going through, you know, a lot of the research and everything, it's just because I can't help them do research when I'm watching something. My guess is around like 32,000. That's just an easy guess for me trying to go back. That's with the alignment of the stars and how it was like pointing towards. I think they said it was like pointing towards Leo or something like that. So when they did the adjustment, it had to be at least 32,000 years. But that leads into a question, which is like in the UK, you have a lot of ley lines, a lot of power grids, and, you know, like areas like Stonehenge, places like that. And have you ever actually slept in one of those closer areas? And did you have any experiences being in those areas?
Well, it just so happens, the summer just gone, I went to Stonehenge for the summer solstice. And as soon as you get there, the energy that comes off from them places, it is just phenomenal. It really is. It's hard to put it into words. There was a couple of what we call elder spirits there. And I sort of see someone standing behind one of the stones I touched. And he didn't mean no harm or anything. He just wanted to know why we was there. Why there were so many people there. And it was just amazing to be able to just touch the stones as well.
Are you able to camp out there, or they don't allow camping?
No, they allowed camping now. Sadly, I couldn't stay there because I had my car with me at the time, and I didn't know, because it was the first time I'd ever been. So I didn't know we could actually stay there.
Right.
And I didn't bring nothing, no sort of bedding or anything like that in order to sleep over.
Wow. You're extremely lucky. That's on one of my bucket lists. I'd love just to go there and just take a nap and just dream and figure out where my dreams go to that way. Who's some of your favorite writers, Dave?
Oh, I think the biggest writer and my best is Arthur C. Clarke, because he was the one who sort of piqued my interest in sort of the paranormal with the shows that he done. So I'd say he's my best. Doris Stokes, she was really good. She was a medium over here in the UK. She wrote some amazing books. I've got a few other books recently as well, all signed, which I love. The personal touch,
right.
Signed books. And there's one who's just come out. Her name is Barb Shadow.
I don't recognize that one.
No, she's only just released her first book, and the second book's coming out soon.
What does she talk about?
It's more sort of based on her personal experiences, based on some of the people she's worked with as well, but it's all set around an asylum. So she puts her experiences into like a storytelling type situation.
How many asylums have you investigated, by any chance?
Believe it or not, I used to work in one.
Oh,
when
really?
I was a teenager. I was a decorator at the time. And there was a woman there who, she had the most evil laugh, but she was such a lovely woman. And she had two children with her. Now, according to anyone else, those children wasn't there. But I know for a fact they was there, because I could see them walking beside this woman. So, but apart from that, that wasn't really an investigation. That was just work.
Right, right.
But for actual investigations, unfortunately, over here in the UK, when it comes to asylums and hospitals and things like that, they knock them down too quick. And something else is already rebuilt on it. And so we don't really get much of a chance to actually go and investigate, because by the time we do that, it's gone and something else has been built in its place.
Well, see, I work in surgery here in Florida, and besides doing radio and running for politics and all, and, you know, like I said, I do everything you could think of. And I actually found out that a lot of the hospitals that, you know, a lot of the things I see will just make, just every day, there's something that happens every day that just stops and makes you think. But does it happen mostly with you? Is it daytime or nighttime when you do your investigations?
I've done both.
And which ones turn out better, do you think?
For me personally, I prefer the daytime ones. The reason I say that is nighttime's okay. Obviously, in the dark, you lose your sense of sight, so all your other senses are heightened. So as soon as anything you touch, you jump straight away thinking that a spirit's touched you. Your sense of smell increases and your body just goes into like a defense mode or a survival mode. But for me, daytime ones are better because you can rule out things a lot quicker than what you can during the night. So if you do get anything, everything's all crystal clear, so you can say, oh no, that wasn't the spirit, that was the cup falling down, because it was on the edge of the table. And so it rules that out straight away, and so it saves going over a lot of evidence, which saves a lot of time in the long run trying to distinguish what was spiritual and what was natural.
No, I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%. Okay, this is usually right near a closing question, and this one I'm gonna let you think about real quick. There, your time is done thinking. Now, living or dead, if you could meet anybody in existence or in the past in your dreams, who would you like to meet?
Albert Einstein.
Oh, really? Why is that? You answered that just like that. Boom, Albert Einstein.
Well, I've done a show on law of thermodynamics. The first law of thermodynamics is energy can neither be created nor destroyed.
Right.
Now, Einstein came up with the theory that energy may not be able to be created nor destroyed, but it can transform. It can transform into heat, light, and chemical energy. And Einstein believed that spirits existed. And so I would love to just talk to him and just pick his mind as to why else he believes spirits exist.
You know how long a conversation that would probably be?
Oh, I wouldn't care. I'd stay asleep forever if I had to, to hear.
I was going to say that'd come back to one of them repetitive dreams. Because you'd have to go on and on.
Love it.
Yeah, I know. 100%. Hey, I know you got a chance on your show to talk about whatever you want. And here on the RPA network, we have a lot of listeners out there, and they're all around the world. And, well, first of all, you want to give them your information real quick, how they can get in touch with you?
Yeah, you can get in touch with me on Facebook, named David Cook. Or you can go on to Essex Ghost Investigations or the Ghostly Hour Facebook page. Or alternatively, you can go on kcrradio.com and all my details are there, my Facebook, my Twitter, everything you need is on there, my email. Just one click, it'll take you there straight away.
Dave, I'm going to give you the final seconds to let you go ahead and talk to the world and let them give them some deep wisdom, and I'm going to let you have it real quick. There you go.
First rule, if you go to any investigation, please respect the spirits, respect the property, respect the people that are doing this, respect other people's lives, because you're not just dealing with the dead, you're also dealing with the living, and you're dealing with their emotions. So please, if you are going to do this for the right reasons and not for personal gain, because that is the wrong reasons.
That is Mr. Dave Cook. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, don't forget on Monday, you have Real Paranormal Activity, the podcast with your host, Mr. Aaron Hunter. Yeah, he's the man of the hour, the man with the power, the man that's too sweet to be sour. And on Tuesday, you have Aaron Frail with Aaron's Horror Show. He basically goes through horror stories, horror TVs and movies, because, you know, a lot of stuff coming out of Hollywood really sucks. And on Wednesday, you have Terry's Mysterious Moments. I'm stuttering here because I'm looking at something on the screen that just popped up, and it's scaring me right now trying to figure out why that popped up. But Terry's Mysterious Moments, and he goes through cryptoids, and he's been doing like haunted hotels, and Terry does a lot of stuff. It's the brain scratchers that makes you wonder what's really going on. And every once in a while, really, this is the news coming out right now. I'm gonna have to say this right now, because it was every once in a while you have The Sandman Lullaby with Patrick Sean Jones coming out, and this is probably going to be one of the last episodes for quite a while, at least probably 2 months. And I'll let you know the news right now. I'm running for office once again. As many people know, I believe in service. And late last year, I ran for mayor of my hometown of Lakeland, Florida. And what happened, there was a tragedy that happened just recently when one of our city commissioners, there was a shooting, and basically he had to step down from his office. And there's going to be an emergency election coming up soon. And by the rules of broadcasting, I do most of my recording here in the studio when I come to Tampa, and I'm not going to be able to be on the air while I'm actually a candidate running for office. So I'm going to have to basically pull myself off the air at least for till January 15th. So please keep listening to RPA, and I'll probably be back as soon as the election's over. If you want to get in touch with me, don't forget you could always write me at sandmanlullaby@gmail.com. That's sandmanlullaby@gmail.com. If you would want to talk, if you want to send me some dream stories or anything, or hey, if you want to give me a campaign donation, I talked to Dave about this earlier, I will not deny a campaign donation, because usually I got to pay for everything myself, but this time I'm actually taking campaign donations. So Dave, I do appreciate you staying up and giving us a little bit of your information all the way from the UK.
Oh, it's a pleasure being here, sir, and good luck.
Dude, in the election. Hey, thank you, thank you, thank you. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, for the last time for, let's say, January 15th, that's the election in Lakeland, Florida. You've been in the Sandman Lullaby, Patrick Sean Jones, and I'll see you on the other side.
Ha 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 ha.